Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here tonight to talk about this veto episode of Big Brother Canada 11. Last night, I predicted that this episode would be better than the previous episode, and I think I was right. According to myself, I was right, at least. Me, of course, being your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me tonight to talk about all of these temptations and declarations is AJ. How you doing, AJ?
I'm doing really good, Taryn. I'm glad I am here tonight because I would like to throw down the gauntlet. Daniel, I am the best seeker in hide and seek. You cannot touch me. You cannot touch me.
Wow.
What's your fastest hide and seek run?
My fastest, 22 seconds. Come at me, baby.
Man, that's like two visits from Daniel's mom.
Truly. Now, listen, it was their fault. They all decided to hide together and close to the starting spot. But still, I did that. That was on me.
I'm the best hider, I would say. Ooh. Like, I'm not good at finding, but I'm very good at hiding, mainly because I'm very short and small. And so I just kind of like, you know, can hide in places that people are like, no person can fit there.
Interesting. But, you know. Yeah. Well, let's see how good Melissa is at hiding right now.
Whoa.
My God. How did she do
Where'd
that?
There she go. Wow.
This is wild.
When did this happen?
Wait, what?
I'm hidden somewhere in the screen. Find me. Just kidding.
If you're not watching this podcast, you might be slightly doing it wrong. How are you, Melissa?
Hi. I'm doing great. Great. I'm excited to talk about it. And I think I agree with you. I think the episode itself was actually a good episode, a very good episode, honestly. So I'm glad I'm here to talk about it.
All right. Well, also with us is Mari. How are you doing, Mari?
I'm good. I came here. I was going to be like, oh my God, what challenge did they make? Like a basketball shooting challenge or a how tall can you be challenge? I thought it had to lean more misogynistic, but of course I was wrong. I love this veto comp. And I think I would have stopped for the puppies. I'm not going to lie. I would have stopped for the puppies.
to be fair, while it wasn't a basketball challenge, it was a who can be coldest to their mother chicken.
It's like, not now, mom. Don't bother me.
Give me the peace.
Yeah.
Go.
Yes. Well,
if
here
you're not
we are.
Helping, you're hurting.
Here we are, just about 2 weeks away from the finale of Big Brother Canada. And we are going to be in Toronto for the finale. with a bunch of guests, a bunch of alumni, including many of these people on this poster. If again you're watching the video version, this only scratches the surface of the names that we seem to have.
It's crazy how many names we have. I saw the list last night, and Sam sent it to me in a text, and it was just scrolling. Like I had to literally like scroll.
Sam says I can say we currently have about 40 plus.
It's wild. They're absolutely going to outnumber the podcasters. It's so exciting.
They know the value of numbers. They're going to vote us out.
We're taking over this podcast. I told
Sam there's a moratorium on talking about the Toronto live show while I'm on the podcast. Y'all will be in Toronto on my birthday enjoying all these fabulous people, and I won't be there. But it's okay. It's okay. You guys
wait, have fun. I just noticed the poster. Do you see that there's like Chappelle in the Jenny O? Chappelle, yeah. You got Jenny up there in Asia.
And don't forget little Miss Gia down there. She hired.
Oh my God.
Why is Gia so small? Fix that right now, Sam.
Mari, what would you say to anybody listening or watching that can go to the finale live show but hasn't decided that they are going to yet?
I would say go. If you have a current passport, which I sadly do not, go to Toronto. Hang out with all of these wonderful, wonderful people. It is a blast. If you have not been to our RHAP live event, you are missing out. So do it. Go now.
It's going to be my first Big Brother live show, and I'm like very excited.
Basically, if you don't go to the live show, you are like somebody who quit Big Brother. Wasting a spot. Or wasting an opportunity that many people would love to have, including Mari.
They'd kill for this opportunity.
I would kill for this opportunity. Kill for it.
She'll kill for it, guys. Don't waste it.
Slightly maimed.
Okay, she got softer.
if anybody out there knows, you know, a thing or two about passports, you know, we're just throwing it out there. Let's talk about this episode I would say one of the better competitions of the season, I think. Not only was it a fair competition, everybody seemed to have a good chance at it, but ultimately the top three came down to who spent more time on Temptations. They all had about the same time minus Temptations. And it just came down to who spent the least amount of time on Temptations, which I think is a great outcome for a competition. So very pleased with how that came out. And it was pretty fun to watch. I mean, I think maybe one too many run throughs. Yeah. I don't know if we needed to see Shania's at 34 minutes.
I absolutely loved this competition. I thought it was awesome. It was so fun to watch. I love temptation competitions. And this one wasn't just a simple, you know, oh, okay, well, are you going to take the money or not? Like, this had so many different layers to it, and you never knew what the next temptation was going to be. It's like, it reminded me of like the Survivor auctions or whatever, where it's like, you don't know what the next one is. So you're like, well, should I save my, you know, my time? Which also I was wondering if they could go back and like get the suitcase once they, or get the money or whatever.
You mean go back and play with the puppies?
Well, yeah, right. I mean, that's what I would do. But no, I thought it was so entertaining. It was so fun. And they were so surprised by the family visit in the end. I just, you know, it was great. What a fun competition. I hope they keep this and do it again.
Yeah, I really like this. And I love the temptation clock. I love that they let us know, like, this is the time they're wasting on the temptation. But then they use the montage to indicate, oh, they're actually looking for something, but it's eluding them, you know, like the whole like, oh, where's the puzzle piece? Like, I like the difference, and I love that we could see it. And I agree, Shania being so far away. But the funny thing about it is because of her temptation clock was like 2 minutes, right? Like, her, she had the longest temptation clock. And because she had the longest temptation clock at like 2 minutes or something like that, when Koozie did hers and it was like only 30 seconds or 40 seconds, I was like, oh, that's not that bad. Like Koozie could probably still win, you know? Mm-hmm. And then as it kept going, like, oh, 5 seconds, 7 seconds, you know, I really didn't think that the temptations were going to be that much of a big deal. But once it all shook out, I loved how that worked out. That was real fun to watch.
No, I really loved all the temptations, like getting to watch them, avoid it, sadly not pick up one of the puppies, because I know I would have picked up the puppy and took the puppy wherever I went. I was like, hey, baby, you're now mine. Your name's Taco.
One hand puppy, one hand looking.
Correct. Like, I already got an attachment to you. I'm that type of personality.
I mean, that's a real temptation. It would be like, okay, not just pet the puppies, but if you pick one out and spend a minute with it. You get to keep it for the rest of the season.
That was like, awesome. Come
on. I would do it. I absolutely would do it. Yes. So cute. But, although to be fair, like having a puppy and petting a puppy and then like taking care of a puppy while they're pooping everywhere is like very different. So I feel like I'd much prefer it. True. Yeah. You could train the puppy, spend all the time with it. It'd be great. I would. But yeah, no, I thought it was fantastic. I do want to say that, you know, we did our roundtable on Monday after hearing about Koozie taking the money. Mm-hmm. And I do think that the way it played out is very different from what I was imagining it being. I thought it was like everyone's competing at the same time in the same thing. Mm-hmm. And she goes for the money instead while she's seeing everyone else do it. And instead, it was totally isolated. There were many temptations. It seemed like it would be a simple, like, let me just grab this on the way. Which it did kind of seem like that. It really wasn't that hard. It was just opening up some bags. Yeah. So I do blame her less. Obviously, I don't think she should have gone for the money, especially because in her diary room session right before starting the competition, she says, I need to win this thing or else I'm probably going on the block. So she knew the stakes and yet she still went for the temptation. But I don't think it was as egregious as we initially thought and what I really based my rating off of. So just wanted to throw that out there. Mm-hmm.
Did anybody do the calculation? Was her?
Yes.
It really was?
Well, here's how it came to us. So we saw in the drops, Koozie was saying, I only lost by a few seconds. And if I hadn't gone for the money, I would have won that comp. So we all kind of assumed, okay, so she only lost by a few seconds and she must have come in second place, just a couple seconds behind Ty.
Right.
Only to be surprised, she was in third place, 46 seconds behind Ty. The temptation clock when she was going for the money was actually 42 seconds. So it wasn't just the $1,000, but the $1,000 plus the amount of time she spent with her family member that... Which is why, again, I say that, like, if you subtract all temptation time from Koozie, it's about the same as Ty. If you subtract all of the temptation time from both Ty and Daniel, they all had around probably within 1 or 2 seconds of each other. And the difference truly was how much time they spent. So Koozie's time was 46 seconds longer because of the money plus the family. Daniel's was 4 seconds longer because of the family.
The family.
Ty won because he spent the least amount of time with his mom. And that was it.
In Koozie's respect, she hugged her cousin and then shoved her back down into her chair. Like,
yeah, she did. Yeah. And she talked to her as she like still like kept going, which I thought was cool. Everybody else kind of like, Ty told his mom to be like, shut up. Like, he's like, she's just like,
Shania's mom too was like, hey, we can like hang out, like, spend time. I was like, dude, come on.
And what are you doing?
Shania spent the most, like, Shania was hugging her mom and talking to her, like
Shania had zero hustle in the entire, she was just strolling around.
I mean, she got the outfit happens. She like picked out an outfit. Yeah, like, don't do that.
This is what happens when you're not competing alongside people, is that like you don't realize that you need to actually be moving.
I thought it was funny that she went for the outfit, but not the $1,000. Like, you can buy many outfits with $1,000. You don't just need one winner's outfit. You got many winner's outfits if you just got that $1,000.
She was pretending to look, but she was looking for that outfit. She went through every single
piece. And then she's like, oh, that's cute.
So great. Here's this is pretty brutal because I'm watching this comp and I don't even know that Daniel is close to winning this. Mm-hmm. I think he's third place at best. And I'm watching him see his mom mm-hmm. and his mom says, surprise, and gives him a hug. And it ends up being about 10 seconds that he spends with her. And I'm sitting there like, man, if I were a family member, I would feel so terrible if I cost them the win in this competition. Yeah. So I wouldn't even say surprise. I would, the second they walked in, I'd be like, shut up and do the thing. Go. Yeah. No. Don't even look at me. I'd be like, don't spend a single second with me. And I thought I was just being, you know, me, right? Like, like that wouldn't actually matter. And then he actually lost because of the hug. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know. I feel like I wouldn't be able to not hug my mom in that situation. But I do think that if I'm, like you said, if I'm the person, I would still talk to the person while they're looking. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, you just look, I'll talk to you. You're doing great. We're all rooting for you, you know, mm-hmm. as they're searching. Because otherwise, it's just, I can't imagine being the reason that my loved one loses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But something I did want to ask about was, maybe I'm just totally misremembering this, but I swear that Shania had the puppies right before the mom. And it went like a different order than everyone else. And I don't know whether that was just like for filming purposes or
what was that,
like,
for the puppies?
The $1,000.
But on hers, I swear it went like outfit, then letter from home, then $1,000, then puppies, then parent. And I was, and then it switched around and I got all confused. And I don't know if I'm misremembering it. I don't know why I would misremember it this way. But I swear, I was like, why did everyone else get the thing flipped?
I don't think so. I think it was the same thing. Because I think I remember thinking, as she was leaving the puppies, she actually did like...
I swear. Well, there's maybe a little validation in the chat. One person, Mandy.
Shout out.
See, I got one. One person agrees with me. So, you know what? That's enough for me. And I was right. And you guys were all wrong. So
I just remember Shania saying $1,000. Nope. And then kept going. I think it's because she did that. I think it's because she did that room really quickly. I think that was the room that she did quickly. The clothes room she took forever in, and the puppies room she took forever in. Yeah. But I think the $1,000 room she just went right through.
Same. Right, I loved how everybody went right through the letter room. I feel like the $1,000 people were like, but the letter room, they're like, no thanks. I'll hear from them later, which I agree with.
And they already got a letter.
No, guys, you don't understand how vital a letter is and how much of an advantage. Oh, yeah. You've never been in that house, so you would never understand.
Yeah, you don't get it. You just don't get it. And speaking of, I'll just say that I really did like Ty in this episode. I loved his veto speech in the end. I thought it was so great. And I liked, you know, the fact that he was showing emotion in the diary room about, you know, how he didn't get to say hi to his mom or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that I feel like he's on some sort of like redemption arc with the fans where people are like,
underdog effect. It's real.
It is. It's real. It's totally real. And I thought that.
And they're editing it too.
I also.
I mean, underdog plus working with fan favorite. is a hard combo to beat. Right. And then the editors are also on your side.
And the fact that he's like, it shows that he knows what's going on. Number one, he knows what's going on in the house. He understands like where everyone's position is, which I think is, it makes me like him more. And then also, you know, the fact that he desperately wants to stay in the game, that makes me respect him more. The fact that he's trying so hard. So I just felt like, this was a good episode for him. I kind of don't love to say that, but it really was.
Yeah. And I think it also is like this season, Taryn called it from like the get-go. Once you start that precedence of taking out the big targets so early on, like they did, like Zach did in the first 2 weeks, and then Zach himself falling victim to it, that has been the name of the game through this whole entire season. And unfortunately, because that's also how the people who are leaving are being presented to us, both by the people in the house and by the editing, it makes you feel like every time we lose somebody, you're like, man, that's another person that we would have loved to see win. So it's also kind of making you feel like not as great about the people who are still in the house, because it's just kind of like, okay, are they the floaters? Are they the ones who, you know, laid low and didn't do anything? So in that essence, you're also now trying to root for Ty, because him of all the other, all of the people, he's literally by himself. Mm-hmm. He know he has to win comps. And as much as somebody like me doesn't respect being in that type of position, you should never be in a position where you have to win a comp. You're still kind of rooting for it because you're kind of also want to root for chaos, because the moment he is off the board, the moment that he is safe in some way, we get stuff like this. You know what I'm saying? We get this type of like gameplay and self-interested gameplay and all that, you know? So it's such a kind of like a mind F, because it's like the person who likes strategic social maneuvering in me is like, boo, 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 he won again, you know? But then I'm also kind of like, but look at them panic. Look at them, look at the rest of them panic, you know?
But I think another thing is, like, it's not like he's just in the situation where it's like, well, I'm going to win out everything. Good luck. Y'all have fun with your game. Like, he's still mixing it in there. He's still, like, trying to, like, establish deals and stuff. He's still trying to work with these people. And even though they're not buying, because it's like, yo, you're winning the challenges, you got to go. And
yeah,
he's still in there, like, still fighting the good fight. And, like, people love it when people, like, even when their back's against the wall, everything's against them. Like, we've seen that before, and people give up and we're like,
We've seen it this season.
Correct. But when you see that fight, you want to see them prevail. And even though, like, Ty had his issues earlier, and we can still acknowledge those issues and be like, that was problematic. This needs to change. But also, at this current moment, go homie.
And it makes it so much easier when we don't have feeds.
That was the thing where it's like, Kuzi was like, I want to sit next to Ty in the final two, because to be the best, you need to beat the best. And I'm not gonna lie, in my head, I was like, wait, this guy?
Mr. Hopkinton goes home today.
Yo, we're walking out of this house. If they don't.
100%.
This guy?
Right.
That, gotta beat that guy to be the best. You sure? you talking about the right guy? Yeah, I mean, it's for me at least, it's also what we've talked about before in terms of how competitions are set up as well, where it's like he does have an advantage, and maybe not in this particular competition, unless you count, you know, being able to resist temptations, something that Ty naturally has a predisposition for, which I don't think I would. But still, you know, he is certainly predisposed to winning many of the other competitions. Mm-hmm. And so when you set a game up like that, then you are basically sort of like creating a scenario where we are begrudgingly respecting the grit of a person who's like, yeah, but everything was set up for you to be able to do this, you know. So it is interesting, though. I think it's always interesting to see how things work. I think that, you know, and we've talked about this also when, you know, shortly after Zach was evicted, you know, Ty became a bit more bearable, so to speak, because he was like, I'm on the outs. I got to be a little more humble. And then they convinced him that he was in charge again. Like, wait a minute. Wait, go back.
So. He's only good when he's thinks he has to be humble. That's the only time he's like likable at all. So let's just hope it stays that way.
I think we very much lucked out with Zach walking out in week three, and it, because I, like Karen said, there could have been a way where he could have stayed. But like without Zach looming over Ty from the little drops that we see, because again, we don't have feeds, like Ty has always been in a better position just because he doesn't have the ball and chain that is Zach. He essentially lost his duo so early. And we know how that fares with, you know, that we know how that fares with some people in some games. Sometimes losing your duo early can help you slither and skate by, you know. Of course, he's not slithering and skating by. He's still having to put in a lot of work. But I think from a temperament standpoint, his duo leaving definitely helped him ingratiate himself more socially than he would have if he was still there. Like, it's not great because it's Ty, but mm-hmm. it's still better than if Zach had stayed. Like, no question. If him and Zach had stayed, it wouldn't have for him here, because he was able to be that person that looked like he needed help, you know, who needed help. And then the Crown wanted to be the lifesaver mm-hmm. for him and help him. And it was a mutually beneficial relationship until it wasn't, you know? So mm-hmm. I think Ty lucked up in a sense that he cut the dead weight. He's learning. He's learning how to deal with being alone. Mm-hmm. But also, it's just kind of funny because now at this point, it's mm-hmm. do or die. It's do or die. I think he's gotten through the diciest parts of the game mm-hmm. that he needed to. And if now he's guaranteed final six now, right? So mm-hmm. if he makes it through this double eviction, like you guys said, it's just a stone throws away to the finale. So I think mm-hmm. I think he did a good job of maneuvering the diciest part mm-hmm. of the game. I think
it also helps a lot that he traded out Zat for Koozie. Like, like he had like one of the more well-liked shot callers of the season. Like, she was the one who had your back versus Zach, who was a social pariah, mm-hmm. actively seeking your game and wanted you to quit with him. Like it's a drastic difference, like who you have batting on your side. And it also helps that Koozie is the biggest threat on the field, bar yeah. none. And everyone sees it. So even though Ty is a physical threat, like, you can make that mm-hmm. case against Koozie. He could still make that case against Koozie. Like, okay, this was the issue. And Koozie, from what I'm hearing, might not be upset with a Ty win at the end of the game and might actually fight for him if he gets to the final two. Like, that's great for Ty. Like, honestly, could not work out better for the man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wish we could get a little more insight as to what the Anika and Daniel and Claudia and Shania, like, what, and even Renee, like, honestly, everybody, like, what they believe their path to the end is, mm-hmm. like, what their plans are when it gets down to it. Cause, like, I don't feel like it's a smart decision for the four of them or whatever to go to the end together. I just feel like there's got to be some talk of who's going to cut who and who do we think the biggest threat is and things like that. It can't all just be, we got to get Ty out. Everyone's in agreement and that's all we're saying. And then we're just going to see what happens from there. Like, there's got to be some sort of, you know, communications between each other of, okay, this is the person I want to take to the end. We got to get this person out next or anything. And I feel like we are missing that. So I just don't know, you know, how the rest of this is going to play out, or even like if, who people believe their best chance of winning against are. Like, I just don't know.
Taryn, if, let's say, double eviction, Koozie goes, then Ty goes, right? Who is best set up for these endgame competitions?
You know, I was not going to say Daniel, but he actually performed really well in this, which means, and he did well in the like, guess the weight thing as well. I feel like he might actually perform decently in puzzles, and we know he knows his days. So while I still feel like he might struggle with a final three HOH, I think he might actually have a chance at some of these end game comps if Ty is not there. And then I think Claudia has shown to do well. Honestly, you know, Shanae's performance in this was so bad, but she did a similar kind of comp where she won against both Claudia and Renee, or Claudia and. Oh, who did she face off against?
In the home one, it was 1v1.
She won three rounds. She won against Claudia. She won against, I think, Renee, and she won against maybe Hope. I'm not sure. But it's so hard to say. I mean, Renee couldn't even hide well. Apparently, couldn't even seek well. You know, maybe if there's anything physical, Renee's not going to do well. But quiz-wise, she can do. I think if Ty's not there, it's fairly open. Okay. I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of open season, and that's kind of interesting. Nice. But we'll see.
Have you guys talked about this? I'm not sure. I've been out of the loop. But have y'all talked about a fake double? Like, what is the schedule looking like? I feel like we've lost so many people.
It does. So it makes sense for this to be a real double in that we go from 7 to 6 to 5 after the double. We go down to 6 and then 5 after the double. And then next week we go down to 4 and then down to 3 and then 2 for the finale the following week. So that all kind of lines up with, I think, how we would normally do it. Also, the last time it was a fake double, they told us it was a fake double ahead of time. Okay. They usually want to hype up the fact that it's not just your average double.
They don't usually keep it from us. They usually keep it from the house guests. Gotcha. So that way we're like, oh, they're in for a surprise.
So we knew it was a fake double going into the trap.
It's one of my top Twitch clips, I think, is me reacting to her saying it was going to be a fake double next week. And I was so sad.
Oh.
Because it brought me like flashbacks of Mitch from BB Can 4.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
It that ended was, up being a different was, fake double.
Yeah,
thank God.
A different one. Yeah, thank God. Yeah, not a get to spend a week with somebody fake double. Very interesting. Like, how are we on track? We lost so many people. Then they got rid of Santee in the middle of
the
week.
They were definitely going to do a triple. I think they ditched a triple.
Okay. Yeah.
Honestly, better.
Because if you think, like, we only really lost, like, an extra one person, right? Like, if they ditched an eviction the first week and made it 2 weeks, because the first week was two.
Oh, right.
Like a two full weeks. Two, they never do that in BB Can. And so that was like pretty normal. And then Vanessa leaving and Zach leaving was the only week where we actually lost two in 1 week.
That wasn't planned, I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they had to have planned the safety chain. That felt so random. It's like, hey, this week, somebody's leaving in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Listen, don't ask that question with Big Brother Canada.
Maybe that's just me. Yeah. All right. That's all. I'm sorry. I'm keep going.
we started this episode with Renee apologizing to Ty for having a zinger in her speech. And I was like, wait, don't apologize. Zing your zingers. You don't walk back your zinger. Don't have a big speech and then walk it back immediately after. Come on.
Yeah. Zing. You think Ty's walking back his zingers? No.
Exactly. And this turned out to be relevant, I guess, to the end of this episode. one thing that was interesting in this episode is that we saw Koozie suggesting to Daniel, hey, maybe we should keep Ty over Anika. And that Koozie is looking to even potentially use the veto on Ty to make sure he stays because she really sees her game as needing Ty, essentially. And what was really weird to me was that I felt like we were seeing Daniel as the opposition to that idea, that Daniel was saying Ty needs to go, all this stuff. But on the drops, we saw him talking to the cameras saying, I think I'm going to use the veto on Ty. Which, by the way, would mean that all three of the top three people in this veto were going to potentially use the veto on Ty. So it didn't really matter who won it, except for, you know, who ended up leaving this week. If it had been Koozie, it might have been Daniel. And if it was Daniel, then it would definitely have been Koozie. So I thought that was weird that they completely omitted that sort of half of that. The more important thing, something that we did not know from the drops, is that, but Koozie hinted at Hope telling her something, but we did not know what. That apparently Hope told Koozie that Anika told him that Daniel was her number one and that she was looking to take out all the big threats to let them take each other out as she went to the end. And he let Koozie know this. And my first thought was, Anika, why are you telling Hope this?
Was it like jury management? Maybe she was trying to do her jury management thing.
I could see the let big threats take each other out part of it. I think that's good jury management to explain your strategy to somebody on their way out the door. I think that's fine. But to say that Daniel is your number one seems like a mistake.
And also, I mean, like, duh. I don't know. I feel like if I'm crazy, I'm not going to be like, what? I can't believe it. They spent all their time together. And she wants to have the big threats take each other out. This is shocking. It's like,
well, that's how she responded.
That's the thing. is it's not, it shouldn't be shocking. I mean, it seems obvious that they're each other's number ones when they're hanging out all the time. If you're in a three-person alliance and you are not having conversations with either of the people in it being like, we are taking each other to the end. When it comes down to it, we're picking each other. Then that's them doing it and you are being left out. That's the thing, is there's no way that it's just, oh, nobody's having that conversation because we work so well as a threesome. You know, people are going to have that conversation. You just might not be a part of it.
Like I would say, full respect for Koozie for like having Jonathan as well as Santina, as well as Hope, as well as maybe even Ty be like, you know what? I will take her to the end. Daniel's none of those folks. Daniel has a strategic mind.
Yeah, the person like, you know, most loyal to.
Correct. So like, why would he, Koozie, take out Anika, who views him as her number one, and keep Ty around and you around, who are both physical threats and social threats and jury threats? Like,
go to someone else and say, I got this information that these two are working together. They are each other's number ones. They're going to take each other to the end. There's going to be no way we can separate them. And I know this information because it came from them. They said it. Mm-hmm. So we need to find a way to split them up. Like, you don't go to the person that you're trying to split up their number one. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Listen, she tried it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With us not having feeds, it feels like we're missing something, because I think what we always see in a lot of the drops is Koozie is always full transparency with Daniel. I think, and we do know a little bit from Amal's tweets that she said that her, Koozie, and Daniel were like really close in the beginning. So with Koozie and Daniel being super fans, and I'm pretty sure it didn't take them long to realize that they're rare in this house, I'm wondering if it's just Koozie is already like very blunt and outspoken about her thoughts. But I think for her, Daniel is always her sounding board where she is full transparency to him. But it just comes off like not a good idea, because it's like, again, you're telling him the stuff that's best for you, and it's clashing what's best for him. At this point, we are far enough down the line that, you know, we're going to have differing opinions, but I think she's always been full transparency with him. And it seems like he, even though he, you know, he seems to agree with her in the moment and stuff like that. We have seen times where he, like, he thought he was going to save Ty too again, you know, like, I just think we're not getting the whole picture. I think this is how they talk. You know what I'm saying? I think this is their rapport, that even if it might be dumb, it still is, like, no matter what, full transparency between the two of us. The problem is Daniel is just not giving that back to Koozie. You know what I'm saying? We know that part. He's not as fully transparent to Koozie as she is to him, I'm thinking.
Like, Daniel don't seem like he's the person who's, like, going to push back on Koozie's ideas. And, like, this is a bad one. He seems like, from what I've seen, he's the person to take it in and be like, okay, I'm going to take this information and I'm going to go around the house and use what I know now to better my position. Like, that's the type of player Daniel seems like. Like, even in this episode, when she said that, he didn't acknowledge, like, no, that's a terrible move. He's like, gotta win that veto. Gotta win that veto. Like, just basically, like, paying her no mind, even though, like, he know he heard it. So, I think without the pushback, I think Koozie's like, you know what, Daniel, he will hear me, and even if it's a bad idea, he's not going to do anything about it. And I think that is severely, in my, this is just from my observation and opinion, that's severely underestimating Daniel as a player.
Which
I think most people in the house have done.
And I think it is, like, underestimating him as a player, but also, I just kind of do think that there is some camaraderie there that is feels like a step above. You know what I'm saying? So that's why what this quote unquote can feel like a betrayal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like the betrayal talk, but, like, I think there's just a certain level of camaraderie because they share so many similar things. And, you know, what did Devon say? It's like, it's personal game or game, personal game information, you know?
Personal, don't even bring that up.
Exactly. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Personal game information.
Well, we're going to see basically competing final two pitches from after Ty wins. One of Daniel or Koozie is going to have to go up on the block. And this is interesting. This is, again, like, I think on Friday, we talked about the drop and we talked about how Renee had told Koozie she's not going up on the block. And I said, this is great for Koozie. Good on you for getting in there early. But I would have liked to see you push a little further to maybe offer a final two, to maybe offer some sort of, like, hey, let's really work together. And ultimately what we see here is that Daniel, and this kind of corresponds with what we saw in the drops as well, Daniel beats her to the punch. Daniel is going to offer this final two deal with Renee first. She even says in the episode, like, hey, it comes down to who I believe more. And she says to Daniel, I believe you when you make this deal to me, when you make this offer to me. You know, and that was the thing too. She's like, at the end of the day, I hope I'm not getting played. I hope I'm not getting tricked. And I was like, well, this is a trick question, Renee, because they're both tricking you.
Yeah.
Both lying to you. There's not one that's actually being truthful.
The funny thing is, Taryn, correct me if I'm wrong, in the beginning, Renee and Koozie were actually pretty close. Like, in that first week or two, like, they were, like, the quote-unquote, like, masterminds from there. Like, Renee, like, we saw the potential in Renee, like, that first week, because out of the girly pop, she is the fan, you know, the super fan. And I remember thinking that if Renee and Koozie actually worked together, this is when both of their factions were working together, like, that could have been a good duo. But unfortunately, the game just completely pulled them to the opposite ends of the house. And they were so busy corralling their own people and their own people turning on the both of them that I don't think they ever fostered that relationship. And I just remember, I just feel like I remembered really early in the season being like, wow, if Renee and Koozie can get on the same accord, they could do really good things in this game. And they just never did.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I remember saying that about Santina, but I don't remember. I feel like, to my memory, right, the Koozie was kind of with Zach and Ty, and they were very anti-Renee. And so I never got the sense that she was super close to Renee. I think that to my memory, at least, Koozie got, closer to Claudia, because Claudia was also with Zach and Ty a bit. And then it was Claudia and Koozie that came together, ultimately bridged the gap of the Girly Pops and the Shady Bunch. I guess Daniel did too, but in terms of Koozie's connection to that. And then when she was HOH, obviously, she, I think, worked the fact that she wasn't putting Renee up, despite the fact that Zach and Ty were pushing it really hard to her advantage. But it still, to me, felt like she was closer with Claudia, at least in that moment. Obviously, that relationship completely fell apart.
It was when the girls came together. It was the girl alliance that I'm thinking about. The girl, when they were like trying to form that girls alliance, and it was right before Koozie's HOH, and Koozie and Renee were trying to come up with the way to get out Zach. And then remember when Koozie and Zach were fighting, and Renee said, okay, Koozie is making a really big move in getting out in front of getting on a lot of people's targets for us. So we need to make sure that Zach goes out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. But anyways.
Renee is the one. You're right. Renee is the one that is like, she is quoted as the person that made sure Zach left because Shania was drifting and Claudia was drifting on the fence.
Yeah.
And Renee was like really hammering home, we should take. And Koozie has brought that up. Like, hey, we worked together that week that I was HOH. Like, I kept you off the
That's
block.
That's what I was thinking of.
That definitely existed. And Koozie has tried to rekindle it. And that's what Renee was, I think, trying to stoke.
And then Renee got
mad. Put Koozie up on the block.
I will say that I did appreciate and I did like Koozie's pitch. I think that she made a good point, you know, the fact that they're working together and this could, like, she has no one, because at this point it's not really readily apparent that Koozie would want to take Ty or anything like that. It's not like they are outwardly working together. So it does appear as if each of those people are individuals alone. So I do think that, you know, that is something to consider. There's if Renee sees it, that there's two duos and then there's three people alone. And if you can, you know, find a way to get those three alone people, obviously it's like, yes, if you get to the end and it's you versus Koozie or you versus Ty, like, you know, you might not win, but otherwise, how do you get to the end? Like, you might not even get to the end if you don't work with the outside people. And I feel like that was a good pitch. I mean, I don't know the answer. I don't know whether it could go either way. It really could. Like, she could either make it to the end and then, oh, great, she has a great way to win because she's sitting next to Shania. Or she doesn't make it to the end. And then the reverse, obviously, either she makes it to the end with Koozie or Ty, and then she loses because she's sitting there with them. I don't know. But it is something to consider. And I certainly would, if I'm Renee, I would absolutely be wanting to take out, and I don't know if this is the right move, but I would absolutely be wanting to take out one of Daniel or Anika because they're such a tight pair and I'm not connected with them, versus someone who's alone, who's offering an olive branch saying, I want to work with you. I would probably believe Koozie and I'd probably try and solidify something with Koozie to take out the others and then, you know, cut her or whatever. I don't know. That would just be my thought.
It's so funny you said that, because as you were talking about Koozie's pitch, I was like, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, she makes about as good as a pitch as she could. But if I were in that position, I don't think there's anything Koozie could have said to me to make me not take Koozie
and
out.
That's
there's
the thing.
Just
it could
no
go
chance.
Either way.
Yeah.
It could go either way. And I don't think, and I think like a lot of the times it's like, well, this is the correct move. But I think in this situation for Renee, I don't really know what the correct move is. It really could go either way.
That's what I was just about to say. It almost feels like Renee is drawing dead here almost because you know what I'm saying? Because like, no matter what, if she takes out Koozie now, honestly, she is one tie comp win from going out next week anyways. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like no matter who is the HOH.
What I thought was interesting was Daniel says to us in the diary room, my final two pitch to Renee is a lie, but she's not my target. And what's interesting about that is that there's only so many targets, right? If Koozie leaves, he's not targeting Anika, which means he's either targeting Ty or he's targeting Claudia and Shania. He has an alliance with both. And I can tell you from what we've seen on the drops, it seems actually a lot more likely to me that he's talking about Shania and Claudia. And so that's actually not a terrible spot for her to be in, especially if, even if Ty does win that HOH, if Daniel and Anika are both voting out Claudia or Shanaea over Renee, then she survives that. And now she's into the final five. And, you know, she's potentially in this with a chance to win over somebody like Shanaea, maybe even Anika at this point. And, you know, she just needs to win a couple more of those comps. Like, obviously, Ty would have been the ideal person to get out here, but what can you do if he keeps winning those comps? So that to me is why, like, and I'm just, again, why if I were in her spot, I would definitely be doing the same thing. But I do think there is, I think you guys are right. There's a case to be made for Kuzi that is, especially if you believe Kuzi that she's alone when she's not. But that's part of why I would never do it. It's like, Kuzi, I know you're good at this. Like, like there's a reason you're going to win in the end. Yeah. I don't believe that you're alone.
I mean, something that could be considered is like, if Renee was able to get Kuzi to agree, like, on that, if Kuzi wins HOH or whatever, or if Kuzi, you know, if she has an inkling that Kuzi's working with Ty, be like, if either of you is, I will like vote, because I know that Ty is trying to keep Kuzi. So if either of you win HOH, if I vote, if I like don't put Kuzi on the block, you guys need to promise me that I am not going up on the block at all. Like, and then just make this one deal, get one person out from the other side, you know, and then do whatever you want to do the next week, whatever. I just feel like it would make sense to me to have some sort of shield up there for you moving into a week where you don't have the ability to play for HOH, especially because we're so close to the end. I don't know. You're right. There's arguments you made either way. I probably, and maybe this is just me like being biased towards Kuzi, but I probably would be like, I will work with you. I mean, especially because Renee's alone. She doesn't know she's alone, but she's alone. She needs to
work with
somebody. I mean, she needs to work with somebody. And I would be like, I would believe Kuzi's pitch and be like, I mean, maybe that's why I would lose, but I would believe it. And I would say, okay, like, I will do this for you if you agree, you know, that it's you and I, we're working together, you know, and then not take her to the end.
I'm going to keep it a bug with you, though. You're telling me you want to keep the person who beats everyone in the games in the game. that's a big faux pas. That's a big faux pas.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You either, I think there's also an argument to be made that either she goes with Kuzi to the end and loses to Kuzi, or she gets taken out like next week or in the double or whatever, and she doesn't even get the second place money. I mean, obviously it's not good to play for second place, but you know, if you're feeling like, I just feel like there is an argument to be made that if you don't feel like you're going to beat people, I mean, maybe she does feel like she'll beat people, but if you don't feel like you're going to either make it to the end or beat someone when you're there, you might as well just find the easiest way to make it to the end.
Well, like, here's the issue. Like, based on the people that are voted out right now, Renee do not have a good chance of winning. She is really in a bad spot right now. And she needs to find respect real quick. And she needs to get that fast. And I think taking out Kuzi versus taking out Anika, because if she puts up Daniel, Anika goes, I'm pretty sure, right, Taryn?
Yeah, it depends. The girls would lean Daniel probably, but I don't think it's a guarantee either way.
Fair enough. Still, you're taking out Kuzi in this game, and I think that's a big deal. And you still have Ty in there. Ty is still going to, even though, like, I know people are not directly aiming at Ty right now, but based on considering Daniel was like, oh no, I'm not
going Daniel to may not target Ty. Yeah.
Daniel might not target Ty. Anika has not had the best track record in the challenges so far. Ty. So I think. You still have a shield out there that you could possibly push in front of you. I forgot where I was going with this.
With Ty and Renee. But is it really a congratulatory Kuzi scalp if you weren't even aiming for her? You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like, I get it, she gets the victory, but it also feels a little hollow when you tell everybody, like, I'm coming for Ty. Ty's my target. He then gets the veto and then it's like, now I'm coming for Queen Kuzi. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's a good win, but it's it's just a notch below actually targeting and hitting your target to me. Not saying that this is a bad gameplay, because now that Taryn says that there is actually a world where Daniel and Nika aim at Shania and Claudia, then that makes me way more hopeful for this move for Renee. Because to me, when I had last checked in, I thought it was that they were locked in that final four. So if the Shady Bunch are smart like they are, and they target the two solid girls, then, I mean, that's great for Renee, but honestly, that's better for Daniel and Nika. I don't understand how you can get to like you don't want to get to a final five and have people who are clearly, if you're the other duo, you don't want another duo in there. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's good for them. It's good for Renee that they're aiming for Claudia and Shania. My biggest thing is, well, I guess Daniel did do the legwork. Daniel did the legwork already. Him and Renee have a deal. So this is great for Daniel and Anika. Like this is amazing. Getting Koozie out and leaving in a big target like Ty. That's the hard part, because it's like Ty wins so many comps and he's a big target and he can get to the end, but he's by himself versus two people. Like that is, ooh, this end game is going to be very interesting.
I'm excited. I'm very excited for how this plays out.
I think the most interesting thing is that Daniel, because I think that from Daniel's perspective, Ty is either a backup plan or even the primary plan at this point, which is that, you know, Ty can win all he wants as long as he brings me to the end and I beat him. I'm fine with it. And I think there's a lot of reason to believe that Daniel can beat Ty unless Koozie, who in this episode tells us that she thinks Ty is the best and she'd want to sit next to Ty in the final two. If Koozie actually favored Ty over Daniel, then that plan might actually be a lot more dangerous, because, you know, for as much as everyone in the jury right now is saying crown, 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 and they would vote for anybody in the crown over Ty, let's face it, the crown is Koozie. If Koozie comes in with other orders, things could change.
To bring this back to you know, what's the right move for Renee? Comma, but like, say Renee keeps Anika and then Daniel has not Anika, Renee keeps Koozie and then Daniel has to be the person to take Koozie out because Renee's not doing it. Like, Koozie's not going to go into that jury happy with Daniel. And she's already like has a soft spot for Ty. So like, again, that's another argument. Comma, but I would like to go back to something Mari said real quick. Isn't it feels so unfitting that Koozie was the backup? Like, that is so annoying.
It's annoying.
The game that she was.
I talk about that all the time, especially like with Survivor, like the woman being the backup target to a man, that happens way too often for my liking. And for this to kind of be like Koozie's like out too, I'm like, I hate it.
Yeah, we want our women to be targets.
Target,
we
want everyone please.
To take the She's women
like,
out.
She's a huge target. No,
we want those women gone.
Gone. For their own accord, not some man's.
It's better than the woman being targeted to weaken the man, right?
No, that, yeah, exactly. No, like no, Claudia no, and Ty, no. Like, exactly. Like,
yeah, no, for sure.
Oh, yeah, no, boy.
No, that's funny. No, well, Koozie has earned her target. She has. Yes. She
well,
has
do we think, it, okay, so I do have a question. If Koozie, if Renee were to be like, I'm not going to target Koozie, I'm not putting Koozie on the block, she's staying. Do we think that, like, let's say she puts up whatever, I guess, do we think that people would then go for Koozie next? Like, she'd just be next on the chopping board, like even Anika or Daniel?
Do we think that
they would be like, we're not, you know, going after
them? I think if Koozie stays off, if one of Daniel or Anika leaves this week, I think Koozie basically straight up wins the game. Because it seems like Ty really was genuine about taking her to the final two. And between Ty and Koozie, I think they could easily stomp the rest of the comps. I think they are more likely than not to get there. And I think Koozie then just auto wins. So, you know, whether they're targeting
basically they
her
have
or not.
To take her out now or Ty. And they can't take Ty out. So they got to get Koozie, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that was my perspective at least.
No, I mean, I think that makes sense. I'm just wondering, like, yeah, if Renee were to, you know, just like AJ was saying, like refuse to do it. And then does someone else be like, well, we got to take the shot. I don't know. Imagine a world where Renee is like, I'm just going to put a, I'm keeping Kuzi. She's my number one. I want Anika to go. So I'm going to put up someone that people don't want to take out, like Shanaea. And then she like puts Shanaea on the block with Anika. And then of course, you know, Shanaea potentially goes because it's like the crown or whatever. And then you have Anika and Daniel going after Kuzi, and it's a whole mess. And I'm just imagining that in my mind. So just think about it. Think about that. It was a very convoluted scenario with a bunch of names I probably messed up, but you know what? Think about it.
We're thinking.
Yeah.
We're thinking it.
Wait, when the final pop is,
I don't even know like what that.
That took me out.
Yeah. Then what?
Then what?
You know.
All right. Well, ultimately, Renee made her decision and she nominates Kuzi Ty gives his speech. Renee does not take any zingers at Kuzi, and then seems I think will ultimately be very upset that Kuzi took some at her.
Did you see Shanaea's face?
She was like, Kuzi, so Kuzi, I have nominated you.
Shut up.
I'm pissed. Everyone was literally looking around like,
Shanae's like,
God. Yeah, Shanae was really.
No,
she just tell her to shut up and sit down.
Like, well, here's the thing. She told her to sit down and then she sat.
Like, how do y'all not understand that Kuzi is gonna bring the TV? She understands we are filming a TV show. She understands that this is making it on. No matter what else happens, this is making it on. She has to give that do that queen also, moment. Like, I loved it.
I don't mind that it's someone funny. Being upset. I don't mind someone being upset about things that shows that they actually really cared. I mean, remember in BB6 when Erica got voted out and she was so mad. What was that? The loved triple. It. The double, I don't remember.
The Canada save.
And Erica was so pissed, like yelling at Kayla. I mean, it's like, it shows passion. It shows that they care. I don't mind it. I think that people who are saying, you know, that rubbed them the wrong way and all that sort of stuff. It's kind of like, you know, I much prefer for somebody to care than to be like, you know what? It's been a great ride, guys. I'll see you later. Yeah. Like, I don't want
vote
that.
Me out. Vote me
I
out.
Feel like, I feel like we go through this like every time this happens too, especially when it happens to be a woman, maybe even a woman of color. I feel like it happens even more. But like, it's okay. It's okay. Wait, let's listen.
I will do everything that I can just to make sure she will not touch 100,000 from Big Brother. Her name will never be remembered as a winner of Big Brother. I will make sure that she fails once again, dead last forever.
Oh my god.
I thought that was so powerful and so good, especially like in her accent and the way she enunciated every word. It was just so good. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously we say all the time, you know, we don't want a bitter jury who is just trying to, you know, say, well, I want to vote this person to lose. I don't want to vote this person to win. Like, I'm not going to reward good gameplay. I want to vote for who's nice or whatever. Yeah. We don't like that, obviously. But when they're still in the house and they're being put on the block and they're like venting to the diary room, I'm absolutely okay with someone being like, they will not win. I will make sure of it. I'm so fine with that. That's totally cool.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I think it's a completely like, if 2 weeks from now, Kuzi's casting a vote and she has made an alliance in the jury to make sure Renee never wins simply because Renee took her out of the game. That's when I'll be like, okay, Kuzi, come on. Really?
Yeah, exactly. That's
but in the moment, right after being nominated, like, let's have some fun.
Yeah. And I also think that if it ends up being like Renee and Ty in the end, and Kuzi's like, I'm not voting for Renee, I don't necessarily think that that's because of this moment. I think it's also like Ty has gone like he's won so many things. He's if he makes it to the end, he's obviously fought so hard to get there. And, you know, maybe Renee doesn't have the resume. There's many factors that could like influence a vote. So I don't want people, you know, when it gets down to it, being like, look, Koozie said she was going to do this. And now look, it's like, you know, whatever. It's great. Those types of diary room sessions show passion. Mm-hmm. They show drive. Mm-hmm. They show the desire to win. They show that they're invested in the game. And I'm all for it.
And on top of all of that, it was good television. And that's what I want.
Good TV. And aside from, like, you know, it always feeling like it's coming, like it gets more negative attention when it's coming from a woman of color. Besides the fact of that, like, people forget what good spicy TV is. You know what I'm saying? We've had horrendous reality TV villains, like villains. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, villainous people. Not good, fun villains. We've had horrendous people who end up on our TV screen and we're like, why are they here?
You know what I'm saying? Usually those people that are, that people are like, hey guys, let's not be too quick to judge.
Exactly. So it's like when we have a good spicy, cause I wouldn't say this is a villain moment or anything, but when we have a good spicy dust up, like, people forget what that feels like when it's like, oh, this is, y'all are mad because of game reasons. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mad because of game. That makes sense to me. And I appreciate that. And I want people to get upset about things that happen in the game because it shows that, I mean, if someone gets nominated and they're just like, that makes me sad. I want people to care.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like all kinds of reactions. I like this. I like Dead Last Forever. I like when somebody cries in the diary room because they're upset. I like when somebody is just like Zach Rantz in the diary room, like just like frustrated. I like passion. Mm-hmm. I want to see passion on the show, especially when it's directed in a non like toxic way. Shut up, sit down is fine. Like everyone will live.
You signed up for this.
Yeah. Like, and there are people that are like, oh, well, if Ty had done this, you would have been down. Ty literally also had a shady speech. And we were like, good job, Ty.
That was really good. Five stars.
We liked you like, both.
When Ty is like talking down to women, I don't like that as much.
Correct.
There we go. Like,
like, it's not confusing. Like, where does it not make sense?
It's pretty simple, I think. Now, here's the thing, though. We are, you know, we do occasionally debate strategy on this podcast. We just did about Renee's decision. So I need to pose the question. You are Renee. You just nominated Koozie.
Yes.
She says, shut up.
Yes.
And sit down. You're standing. What do you do?
Yes, mommy.
Do you stand? Do you keep standing, or is that weaker than sitting down?
Actually, I'll stay standing.
Right? I feel like that in many ways is more fragile than the sit down.
Yeah.
Just like how Beyonce once told the world to stop and we stopped. She tells us sit down, we sit.
I think you have to. I think you have to just be like, listen, I was going to sit whether or not you said that. And so I'm just going to sit. That's what I'm going to do. I think that's the only response.
I'm sitting for myself.
You don't tell me when to sit.
I'll tell myself when to sit, and I'm telling myself to sit right now. Melissa,
also, I didn't plan on talking anymore, so this is not me shutting up. This is just me continuing to be whatever I was going to be. Okay.
You know, actually, I have more to say.
You just told me to do things I was already going to do to make it seem like you were directing my actions. If any of this makes you look small, okay?
Yeah. God, it's
God. Oh, bless it. Oh,
Renee
bless.
Is once again in She's a no-win Wednesday situation.
Yeah.
She literally can't win. She can't win with noms. She can't win with what to do.
Nope. She should have just kneeled to confuse everybody. Yeah.
You're like, I do my own thing, actually.
She jumps on the couch, like Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise style. Mercy, once again, she says, sit in her lap, power move. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
So funny. We can't decide, clearly. So we don't know what Renee should do in any scenario here.
Oh, bless it. Oh, Lord.
All
Yeah.
Anything else from the episode that we should talk about?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing for me, at least. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited for the double.
Yes.
It'll be interesting.
Should be interesting. We will likely see some, you know, some drama. You know, Shania, Claudia, and Renee had some things to say about Koozie's response to being nominated. So that should be fun. And then, you know, I guess we can get into some spoilers.
Oh, nice.
For the coming double eviction, let's talk some spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. So, as expected, Koozie, yeah, in some trouble. But if you listen to today's update, you will know that hope is not entirely lost. He's only in the jury. And so Koozie has fully thrown Daniel and Anika under the bus to the Girly Pops. She told them that Daniel and Anika planned to target Claudia and Chinea. And Claudia actually seems pretty scared about this and was at least having the conversation of should we change your mind. Now that it didn't really go anywhere, and Shania does not believe this and seems very firmly on board with Daniel and Anika still, and very firmly against Koozie. However, this is certainly a lot closer to Koozie staying than Koozie saying, I'm not even going to campaign, and the girls saying, we don't respect Koozie anymore. So lots of steps, certainly. I definitely don't expect this to end with Koozie staying, but it's some amount of intrigue, and at the very least, definitely changes things with regard to the Shady Bunch and their dynamic, and again, how Koozie will go into the jury. She seemed annoyed at Anika in the episode, but still very pro Daniel. And even as close as just yesterday on the drop, she seemed very, very pro Daniel, telling Daniel, I will fight for you in the jury no matter what, which is not something that you need to lie about because it's only incentive for them to take you out. However, on today's drop, she was complaining to Ty about Anika and Daniel that how are they upset that I'm trying to stay? Like, I'm just trying to play the game. So it seemed like she maybe found out more, that maybe Daniel was also upset with her, that maybe prompted her to throw Daniel and Anika under the bus or something along those lines. I don't know if this is lasting damage to Koozie and Daniel's relationship, but it could have huge impacts on who wins this game because Daniel was looking at taking Ty to the final two on Koozie's word that she would fight for Daniel to win. But if Koozie is actually more pro Ty now, that could be very different in terms of who could win. So definitely a lot of intrigue, I guess, over not only this week's vote, but also sort of the war for Koozie's heart, given how much influence she has in the jury, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have no idea how this is going to go and, you know, also how this is going to impact the double. They know that it's a double, or they suspect it.
They heavily suspect that it is a double.
How did they? How?
They always.
Well, they've been suspecting it's a double for the last like 3 weeks, to be fair.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
But now they're like really suspecting.
Spot on. Well, yeah, because it's down to the wire and they kind of have to have a double at some point, you'd think. But yeah, I feel like every year they always are like, yeah, it's going to be a double.
It's always around this time.
Okay. So.
Yeah. But like, if you're Claudia, you take this, right? Like going into the double right now, whether or not you, if say what Koozie's saying is true, you have three of the five people competing, including you and them, are three of the five people are going to target you. You are going on the block if you win this double. But if you take this deal with Koozie, I think that turns to no one targeting you in the double. Am I incorrect?
Who does Koozie target, though? Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, if Koozie does stay, if Claudia believes Koozie is like, okay, I'm going to save Koozie, and then Koozie wins in the double, who does Koozie target is the thing.
I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. Does Koozie then target because in order for this to happen, it would be Renee and Claudia. They both have to agree to this and cut Shania out of it. Is the plan. And so theoretically, we are upholding your deal with both Claudia and Shania, which means the only people you're not having a deal with at that point are Daniel and Shania. There's really no reason for her to target Daniel for as much as she might be. And she even said, I'm not going to target Daniel X. I'd still target the girls over him. And so then she's not really targeting Daniel. So maybe she's targeting Shania. And what happens if Shania wins the veto? There's a lot that can still go wrong there. Not to mention the fact that in Claudia's eyes, she loses to Ty. She loses to Koozie, both of which are true. She also thinks she loses to Renee. I don't think there's a lot of incentive for her to go to make a Final Four deal with three people she thinks she loses to in the end. Now we know that she would probably beat Renee, but still competing against Ty and Koozie, from Final Four with Renee to get to the end with Renee is a really tricky proposition.
Here's my thing, right? You don't have to stay true to it if you're Claudia. Like you bounce.
Well, certainly not. Yeah.
Like you have another shot. Take especially Ty out. Take Ty out. Showman's ever. Like take him out.
But now you're hoping that you win the double eviction facing both Koozie and Ty in order to take one of them out versus facing Anika and Ty. You know what I mean? I want Anika to stay in the game if I'm Claudia, I think.
Yeah, I think if you're Claudia, it makes more sense to keep Anika, but I think if you're Renee, it makes more sense to keep Koozie because Renee is not involved in that foursome alliance. Correct. Of, you know, the two crown and then the two girly pops. It doesn't make sense for Claudia though, because she is in that crew.
I mean, for me,
wouldn't put you up, but
yeah, for me at this point in the game, it's probably going to be very simple. I am just going to target the person that's best at comps if I'm not super aligned with them. Right. And then I'm also going to target the person I think is like the best social player who's going to win. Especially if they're also good at comps, I'm just taking out the biggest threats at this
point. Yeah.
It's finals. We're heading into final six. If I can get out Koozie, all I need to do is win one of the comps during the double and I'm fine. And the only real huge competition is Ty. So I just need to beat him once, and then, you know, I even have outs that there are other people like Shania that if they win, I'm safe. And if like the person who's not on the block wins, that's from a girly pop, then they might save me and I'd be safe. And like, there's all kinds of different ways that it could play out. And I'd rather try to take that my fate into my own hands of like winning those comps myself than be like, well, I'll leave Koozie and Ty in and hope that they honor the deal, and hope that I can somehow also then get them out before the final two. It's just for me, at least, like that. It's just so muddy and complicated. Yeah. Whereas just take out the threats and move forward for me is probably the play.
And Anika is one of the only other people that Claudia, I think, has a chance against as well. Like for sure. Like I think Shania and Anika are Claudia's best chances at winning a jury.
Well, I think Claudia's in danger. And besides Shania, I don't think anyone actually wants to go to the end with Claudia.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah.
So when Shania is the only person willing to take you in the end, it's hard for me to see a path for you to end. And I'm a firm believer of get to the end. If you can get to the end, I know the odds might be stacked against your favor, but I've seen wild things happen at the wild jury votes and been to Canada as well.
So I'm with you on that for sure.
Yeah.
It's just like, for me, it's like making a play with Koozie and Ty puts Shania at the most risk, right? And Shania is the most valuable piece you have. And it's again, it's like to get to the end, I'd rather have a better chance of winning those end game comps myself than rely on other people to keep me around.
And it's kind of interesting to me because to me, the only two really big threats left in the house after Koozie leaves is Ty and Daniel. I think Claudia is like a medium threat. And then I kind of feel like Shania, Anika, and Renee are kind of, is it rude to call them all goats? Like in a house full of goats, who is the goatiest of the goats? You know what I'm saying? Like it feels rude, but I don't intend it to be rude. You know, this is literally a season of let's take out all of the big threats. So this is where we're at. You know what I'm saying? Like, I truly feel like Ty and Daniel are the biggest threats left in the house. Am I wrong to feel that way?
I think you're right. After Koozie, I think Ty and Daniel are a clear one and two. And then I think Anika and Claudia are maybe neck and neck after that. And then Renee and Shania are at the bottom very clearly. In fact, there was a video that was released from the jury that had Jonathan, Santina, and Dan. And when asked who's playing the worst game, they all said the bottom two were Renee and Shania, with Jonathan and Santina saying Shania and Dan saying, I'd give Shania at least one. I'd say Renee. So I think there's a pretty clear tier list where it's like Ty and Daniel, Anika and Claudia, and then Renee and Shania. I think right now it's like, within those tiers, it could go either way. But if anybody from different tiers are in the final two, then it's a clear win for the person that's in the higher tier at the moment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But Gian is correct in the chat. They don't know that that Renee has taken Koozie out yet, which might be good for her. Or if Koozie really is theoretically could be bad for her. I don't think that's going to be the case, though. I think that even if Koozie did come into the jury kind of hot, like I'm so annoyed that Renee did that. I think that there'd be enough pushback from the jury that's like, well, we're all going to vote for you to win. Like, you were just a huge threat. This was really a compliment. Koozie would be like, yeah, right. Yeah, this is fine. And honestly, I think she's already fine with it. Personally, from what we see on the jobs.
And again, I think the biggest problem of Renee taking out Koozie is that her literally saying, like, you know, Ty is my intended target to everybody. I think it's a great move, but it's easy to flip intentions and stuff like that, you know, in the house. And that's an easy way to kind of downgrade somebody's move if you're sitting next to them and you want to downgrade their move in a jury questioning or anything like that.
If I'm Renee, my goodbye message to Koozie is, hey, you know, I'm so sorry it played out this way. At the end of the day, even though I told you that I didn't want to nominate you at the start of the week, that's because you were my backup target from the beginning. I knew that I needed to get one of you or Ty out. And so, you and Ty both are such massive targets and threats in this game. I had to act like I didn't want you out because I intended for you to stay initially, but at the end of the day, again, like, you just had to go. You're so good at this game. And then they'll
edit that down to just say, you had to go.
Yeah.
That's literally
you had to go. You suck also, by the way. See
at the finale.
Yeah. Renee even started it. She started saying that in the.
She did, yeah.
Yeah. So I think she knows. Mm-hmm. I think that's why she needs to big this move up.
I think that's why Koozie responded in the way she did too, where it was like, I wasn't your target. I was just a backup plan. It's because she knows that Renee is claiming that she was a target. And she probably also knows that that's the truth. And she's just annoyed about it in the moment. Yeah. anything else we should talk about?
Nope. Just excited to see the double.
All right. Well, I'm going to be back tomorrow to update you on the latest from the house here in Big Brother Canada 11. We'll see if any traction has been found with the Koozie vote. And if not, hopefully we'll get some sort of sense of where people stand heading into this double eviction. In particular, I really want to know where Ty stands, because we've heard that him and Claudia are getting close again. And I don't know if that means he will no longer target her, if that means he would target Renee or Shania, or if it even means that he could target Daniel or Anika. Now, that doesn't really make sense, especially since Daniel and Anika, or at least Daniel, don't intend to target him. So it would be weird for him to target them. But this is Ty we're talking about. So who knows? So I'd really like to know, especially because he's the best competitor. So he's the most likely person to win that HOH. So I would love to know where Ty stands in all of this. And I would love to know where Koozie stands. But if she does leave, then hopefully I'll at least get to ask her in the interview that I do with her on Friday. So I'll be back tomorrow for that drop. And then tomorrow night I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. First, I'll watch the jet lag finale, which is going to be fun. And then the Big Brother Canada double eviction live reactions. Make sure you tune in. It'll be a good time. Always a fun time with the double evictions. And then we'll be here to recap it all on Rob as a Podcast. And then the exit interview the following day, and then the next drop. So have fun with all of that. The Survivor Stock Watch will also be released this week. Another interesting Survivor episode to talk about. And again, check out robzawebsite.com/Toronto for those live show tickets. AJ, what do you got going on?
Nothing much at the moment. You can follow me on Twitter at TheKidNorris. That's where I retweet any podcast that I am doing.
All right. Mari, how about you?
Every week, me and Sarah Carradine are bringing True Crime Tuesdays to RJP with the Crime Scene Podcast. So make sure you go subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed in order to hear us do a true crime review podcast where every week we watch a true crime like documentary, docuseries, whatever, a property. And then we tell you if you should watch it. This past week, we just yesterday, we dropped the American Manhunt, the Boston Marathon bombing episode. We watched that docuseries on Netflix, and we were joined by Mary Krakowski, and it was an amazing, amazing episode. So definitely go check that out, because it was a good property. It was a really good conversation. So go subscribe and check that out.
You can also around the corner for that one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's might insane. Have to talk to you after this. Also, anything I'm doing, you can follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. That's where I'll post everything that I'm doing. Like a lot of my podcasts are ending right now, so glad about that. So I'm just taking a little bit of time off, but I am streaming on Twitch. So if you go to twitch.tv/Mari Talks Too Much, you can follow me on Twitch. I just did a stream today. I was playing Dredge. I do like an afternoon Dredge stream. It is a fishing game that is actually a horror fishing game that involves Lovecraftian style monsters. So it's if you want to see a little clip, you can go to my Twitter. I posted a clip, but it's basically me jumping at shadows as I play a fishing game. So go check it out. Yeah. It's really, really fun. That's it for me.
All right. Well, you can also, of course, find Melissa at It's Melissa with three A's. Three of them. And that's what we have. So thank you all so much for joining us here today. And we will see all of you next time.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.